Thank you. In John, the third chapter, verses 11 and 12, Jesus Christ said, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of the Good News of John, the third chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May we all see the gifts given to us by your Son. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church. This is your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and contact information along with past sermons, both in text and audio on it, is www.JesusChristSaid.com. Just like the name of our ministry, run together, no spaces, JesusChristSaid.com. Within the past couple of weeks, I've heard a self-taught street person speak about God, and I've been to a seminar put on by the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, and led by a Presbyterian seminary professor whose father was a Baptist preacher. It's been a full 2 weeks, that's for certain. God's gift of enlightenment to me and to others. Denver Moore, the co-author of the best-selling book and possibly soon to be a movie, Same Kind of Different as Me, lives even now on the street. That's where he is truly free, he says. But there's no doubt the authenticity of his message of the love and the grace and the mercy of God living in this man. Pat and I heard him speak at a church in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago, and if you get the opportunity to hear him, do so. If you get the opportunity to read his book, do so. He spent time living on the mean streets of America in jail, big time. I'm talking Angola State Prison over in Louisiana, quite possibly one of the most notorious and dangerous prisons in America. When Jesus Christ said to visit those in prisons, you can't find a more necessary place than Angola. You can also volunteer at the Union Gospel Mission in Fort Worth and possibly meet Denver Moore in person. He's very often there serving up meals for the homeless. He'll make you look at the homeless differently, that's for sure, in a better way, of course. For some of you, Denver Moore will make you look at the homeless perhaps for the first time in your life. And the other gift I received was having Professor Cynthia L. Rigby, a W.C. Brown professor of theology at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Austin, lead a seminar she had entitled Deep and Wide, Living in God's Amazing Grace. Now, this seminar was part of TCU's Bright Divinity College series of seminars. And thanks to Texas Christian University, that's my hometown's university, Fort Worth, for doing this. The whole series has been a blessing, pardon me, has been a blessing to me and to many others. Professor Rigby, in her five-hour presentation, likened being a follower of Christ to standing by a pool of water. Do you jump in and swim or try to? Or do you just stand at the edge of the pool? She cited conversations between Jesus Christ and Peter and wondered if oftentimes Jesus wouldn't say to Peter, "Now you've got it. Now you're in the middle of the pool. Good for you." Then other times Jesus Christ would watch Peter stand at the edge of the pool, fear preventing him from jumping in. We all know what she means. It takes great courage to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I especially liked her chart where she portrayed God as coming to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, and dying and going into hell for 3 days, proving once again that there is no place in the universe where God is not and will not go. Then being resurrected and ascending into heaven. In essence, Professor Rigby's charting was saying that God became man so man could become like God. I like that idea very, very much. Professor Rigby and I have a distant link. Her father, William Rigby, and I hope I'm remembering his first name correctly, in addition to being a Baptist minister, also owned a radio station close to New York City, WLIX, when I was up there as a country music DJ on WTHE. That was before I became a DJ on WBAP in Fort Worth. Now, funny how I'm now crossing these bridges that God set up for me so many years ago. My thanks to Denver Moore and Professor Cynthia Rigby and those responsible for their presentations. You are just two of the many gifts of all of us that we receive from God, just part of the gifts of the kings. Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" This is both from 2 Samuel 5:2 and the prophet Micah, coincidentally, the 5th chapter, verse 2. The Bible then continues, "Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, and they were overwhelmed with joy. When entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. 'A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more.'" That's from Jeremiah 31:15. That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the second chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. What is Epiphany, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y. Webster's Dictionary says Epiphany is a January 6th observation as a church festival in commemoration of the coming of the Magi as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. It also can mean, among other things, a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. Paul, on the road to Damascus, when he was known as Saul, had an epiphany when Jesus Christ came to him suddenly. Now, the Japanese have a wonderful term for epiphany, particularly in the study of Zen Buddhism. They call this sudden enlightenment, or Satori, S-A-T-O-R-I is the Japanese word. It means sudden enlightenment. So on January the 6th, some churches have a commemoration of the Magi, the three wise men or the three kings, and the first time they saw the Christ child. In our Bible reading for today, Matthew doesn't say how many wise men or kings there were, but most people assume that there were three wise men since there were three gifts. Now, this is an interesting story of murder on a mass scale and court intrigue and all the men to hold on to their earthly power. Isn't this one of the things Jesus Christ warns us about when he told us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Two things happened athwart King Herod's desire to kill the Christ child that these wise men were seeking. You see, humanity, in his evil, directed by Satan, will stop at nothing to kill Christ. Every day today, Jesus Christ loses his life over and over and over again on the cross as we human beings across the world do not take and do not use the gifts that Christ, the Christ child, gave us that day of the Epiphany. These three gifts, not gold and frankincense and myrrh, that was given to him, but these three gifts that God gives to us, forgiveness, compassion, and finally, the gift of love. Humans will stop at nothing to hold on to our power over others. King Herod wanted to kill the baby, and he told the wise men of the East to come back to him and tell him where the king of the Jews, this divine power on earth, was. And he lied to them. Why didn't he want them to come back to him and tell him where Jesus Christ was lying in that manger? Why? Because Herod wanted to kill his rival. But the kings, having been warned in a dream, and how many of you have had dreams from God and don't act on them? They had been warned in a dream not to go back, not to come back to Herod. Do not tell this to Herod. So they went home by another direction after having seen God on earth, Jesus Christ, the Christ child. And once again, the angel of the Lord, God, in a dream, this time to Joseph, warned Joseph to flee. And so Joseph and Mary took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into Egypt to save his life. Want to know how evil Herod was? Herod then ordered all male children, the Bible says, 2 years old and under. Can you imagine the evil this was? He wanted all two-year-olds and under murdered, so Herod could protect his earthly wealth and power. Men and women will do anything, even now in the so-called enlightened 21st century, and even here in America, where we think of ourselves as civilized, men and women on a daily basis risk your life and your health and your safety and the lives of your loved ones for their profits so they can make more money, so they can stay in political power, and even worse, so they can remain in their mansions, some of them in their mansions, flying their jets around the world and driving their fine, fancy cars to and from their work. And no, I'm not talking now about political and corporate leaders, but about some of the most well-known evangelists on television. Any one of you that are listening to me right now can tune into them, and they're wringing that money out of you to enjoy their evil lifestyle at your expense. I say evil. And then saying it's okay because God wants you to be wealthy just like them. Or what I heard the other day, a preacher, a well-known TV pastor, saying that he believed Jesus Christ was a wealthy man. And that's why he wanted to be wealthy just like Christ. I'm shaking my head. The wise men brought gold and frankincense and myrrh to the Christ child. They brought that as a small show of adoration. You give back to God by being more like God, not more like Herod. God gave to the kings and to all of us three gifts in return. The first of these gifts for the kings is forgiveness. I got an email from a friend of mine in Houston just the other day. He told me that someone who had hurt me years ago had come to him for friendship and inclusion. Now, I'd just been talking with him not too long ago, and he seemed like he was in real pain. And in my very puny way, I forgave him for the pain he caused me when we were younger. Just as I forgive myself, listen to this, just as I forgive myself for the pain I caused myself when I was younger. The old and the wise must forgive the young and the foolish, especially in ourselves, especially in ourselves. The first person you have to forgive when you become mature is yourself when you were young and foolish. Christ, as he hung on the cross between two thieves 33 years later, as the Romans were about to execute him on the cross, unjustly, I might add, because Christ had done nothing wrong. In fact, as God on earth, Christ had lived an unblemished life, something no one, not me, not you, not any of us, even the Herods among us can claim. I can't claim an unblemished life. Can you? I've made so many mistakes. And you want to know how forgiving Jesus Christ is? To one of those thieves, Jesus Christ said, now here's a thief who deserved to be hanging on that cross. And Jesus Christ said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Funny, but there are those who say, let's shoot him first and then let God sort him out. That's far from what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ forgives them and lets God sort them out and bring them in. And here's Jesus Christ on the cross, and just before he dies, in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Was Jesus including Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, more of man's bread? Yes, I believe he was. I believe Jesus Christ was including that crowd that had shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And I believe he was forgiving Peter, who had denied him, just as Jesus Christ said he would. I believe Jesus Christ was including every sinner that ever lived or ever would live. I heard a story not too long ago about one of the worst mass murderers of our time, all time, in fact, Jeffrey Dahmer, who was so evil he would cut up and eat some of his victims. Now, the story goes that Jeffrey Dahmer, after he'd been caught and convicted and sent to prison in Wisconsin, I believe it is, wanted to be forgiven of his sins by Jesus Christ, wanted to be baptized. So he asked a preacher, who in my opinion is a truly heroic preacher, to come to prison and to baptize him. The preacher did, and the preacher has caught some heat from other Christians, ones who should be listening to this broadcast right now about forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ. But the point is that no one, not the worst of the worst, is too evil to be forgiven by God. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The first of the gifts of the kings. The other two gifts from that day that those three kings met, that Christ child, those gifts are compassion and love. St. Francis of Assisi said, for it is in giving that we receive. Pat tells me a story about compassion and the story of the starfish. One day an old man was walking along the beach. It was low tide and the sand was littered with thousands of stranded starfish that the water had carried in and then left behind. The man began walking very carefully so as not to step on any of the beautiful creatures. Since the animals seemed to be alive, he considered picking some of them up and putting them back into the water, but where they could resume their lives. The man knew the starfish would die if they were left on the beach's dry sand, but he reasoned that he could not possibly help them all. So he chose to do nothing and continued walking. Soon afterward, the man came upon a small child on the beach who was frantically throwing one starfish after another back into the sea. And the old man stopped and asked the child, what are you doing? I'm saving the starfish, the child replied. Why waste your time? There are so many you can't save them all. What does it matter? Argued the man. Without hesitation, the child picked up another starfish and tossed the starfish back into the water. It matters to this one, the child explained. It matters to this one. Yeah. Maybe that's the essence of compassion, that it matters to someone. There's another story that goes that two brothers worked together on the family farm. One was married and had a large family. The other one was single. At the day's end, the brothers shared everything equally, produce and profit. Then one day, the single brother said to himself, "You know, it's not right that we should share equally the produce and the profit. I'm alone and my needs are simple." So each night he took a sack of grain from his bin and crept across the field between their houses, dumping it into his brother's bin. Meanwhile, the married brother said to himself, "You know, it's not right that we should share the produce and the profit equally. After all, I'm married and I have my wife and my children to look after me in years to come. My brother has no one and no one to take care of his future." So each night, he took a sack of grain and dumped it into his single brother's bin. Both men were puzzled for years because their supply of grain never dwindled. Then one dark night, the two brothers bumped into each other, and slowly it dawned on them what was happening. See, they were having an epiphany. They dropped their sacks and embraced one another. And the third gift, love. In John 3:16, probably the most famous quotation in the entire Bible, Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Because God loves us, the world, so much, God gave his only child, his only Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. Gave him, which means Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man. Jesus Christ, the man, felt as you and I do, bled as you and I do, and died just as you and I will. But Jesus Christ suffered a horrible death. In all my life, I've never heard of anyone, even prisoners of war who are tortured, die as painful a death as Jesus Christ did. But God did this when God didn't have to. God did this so you and I may have eternal life. So that when we die, we don't just flicker out of existence as flame on a candle does when we blow it out. Thanks be to God who gave us compassion for each other, who forgave us and who loves us. We are free to give this compassion to each other, to forgive ourselves and each other, and to love one another as Jesus Christ said. Let us pray. O God, the majesty of the morning sky, the ruler of all the stars, the power of every king, every nation, every one of us here on earth, we stand in awe in the cloak of your glory. May we have the clarity of soul to understand your mysterious ways. May we be filled with the power to call on your mercy and your goodness and your grace for all of our days. Our lives would be an ocean of nothingness without your love. Stay with us to the end of days. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbors yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth that giving the gifts of compassion and forgiveness and love, that's the gift of the kings. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the sinful world, you can change that. Jesus Christ and his love and forgiveness and compassion can begin to live in you. You can do that right now, right here on the radio, no matter what is in your past. And you know, it can't be as bad as the mass murderer Jeffrey Dahmer. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now in the twinkling of an eye. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those who may need God the most, to judging others and telling them that they are going to hell when only Jesus Christ has the power to judge us, to forgiving your own sins while holding others to a higher standard, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, to sinfully promising others wealth of the world, if only they believe as you do. If your light for the righteousness of Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now, right here on the radio. It doesn't have to be exactly like this little bitty prayer, but pray with me right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Then Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination. And if you're physically able, you go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. And that's the very best way to get to know God, by studying His Word. And the next Sunday, go to church, any church. Go to Sunday school and then go to church. Go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church. Forget about denomination. And look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers, because that's the reflection of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside of that church that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars come home safely. Please write or email me, and let's work together for the love of Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. Be sure and keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry and the nursing home ministry by going to our website, www.JesusChristSaid.com. And you can help Pat and me in this ministry by sending a tax-free donation of any amount to us. We don't live in a mansion. We live in a very small house. Nice house, but it's very small. And we don't drive Rolls Royces. We drive Chevy, Malibu. Nice car, but anyway, it's not paid for yet. We in the bank own it. And so you would be helping us out. Your generosity, God's generosity living in you, will be known by God and will help us spread the good news of what Jesus Christ said. And by spreading the good news, we can't afford it. Pat and I fund this radio station, this radio time on our own, out of our own pocket, and we get very little back in return. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have this message go out to other cities on other radio stations. We can't afford it. We need your help. I'd like to have a tent set up in Fort Worth or maybe in Dallas and preach once a week in that tent, an old-timey religious get-together. I'd love to do that with a great gospel group backing. I can't afford that. We just barely can pay these radio bills. But anyway, if you can help us, that would be fine. But, I never want to abuse the... I never want to be in a fine... a fancy mansion and trying to explain to somebody that, well, Jesus Christ was wealthy and therefore I'm wealthy. I want to be wealthy. Or that, you know what, you support me in this radio ministry and you will become wealthy. That's not it. I don't know what you'll become. Maybe you'll become gladder, but I can't do anything for you. Only Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can do that. Anyway, I've talked enough about that. If you can help us, that's fine. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, let me know. We have a request for a Hank Thompson gospel song from Rita in Northeast Tarrant County, a longtime friend of mine. But sorry, Rita, I couldn't find a gospel song by Hank Thompson. Maybe you never made one. I don't know. But anyway, here's a good substitute for you. Today's song, Wings of a Dove, sung by Ferlin Husky, Wings of a Dove.
On the wings of a snow white dove, He sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, He doesn't forget us. He sends down His love. the wings of a dove.
Wings of a dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land.
He searched for land
in various ways. Troubles he had some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love, on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. On the wings of a dove. On the wings of a dove.
That's Verlin Husky from a 1960s hit song called Wings of a Dove. Please come back next time we're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time, quickly. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray, amen. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.